to start, but we'll just wait for Honorable Heloise for a minute or two, because I want to ensure that we are all singing from the same hymn book. Yeah, he's on his way. But I hope everybody slept well, arrived well, good social distancing on the flight. Honorable members, let's settle it down. let's settle it down. Thank you. Thank you. And if we can just keep one door open for the guys who are still preparing. Good morning, honorable members, members of the staff, the communication staff, and everybody who's in here. You are all welcome, and good to see you. you remember that initially we were supposed to meet yesterday evening, and there were some glitches which came up as a result of the flights, especially from the advocate, who's supposed to be taking us through the briefing before we start with the interviews. But I think we've got enough time to deal with the matters that we're supposed to deal with yesterday. But good morning, and you're all welcome. And wishing you a happy stay throughout the interviews. So briefly, what we'll be doing now, until about 9 o'clock, Advocate Tao, who's here, There are questions which have been prepared. He'll be taking us through those questions, just to preempt him even before he. There are even answers which are there, but this is not a memorandum of marking scripts. It's more about indicative answers. I think oral members will be quite flexible on that. You know what you are looking for from the different candidates. So Advocate Tao will be briefing us about what's going to be happening at today. And then we intend at around about 9 to ask Ms. Shelley Monso to take us through the arrangements as far as communications is concerned. You are all welcome. If I can just allow Advocate Tao to do that. Advocate Tao.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members, colleagues. I will quickly go through the questions. If members can look at question number one, which is rated 15 marks, and then the time allocation is 10 minutes. The question is, the Parliamentary Budget Office is now almost 10 years since its inception. What would you regard as its prospects and challenges? In your answer, also indicate what should be prioritized if the Budget Office is to fulfill its function. What is expected from this question is the members need to just to check whether the person understand where the Parliamentary Budget Office is now. Hence, we are saying he must first demonstrate understanding of the mandate of the office in terms of the money bills, and also provide a short analysis, that is, situation analysis of the office, looking into its strength and weaknesses. The strength, the candidate needs to indicate how he or she will turn those strengths into opportunities, and how the candidate will address the weaknesses to mitigate against any threats. And the candidate also need to indicate what will be prioritized. In short, one can say members need to just to check whether this candidate has got a clear vision. And when you have a vision, you first say, where are we? Where are we supposed to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Now, that is, in short, what the members need to just check. Even if there is a follow-up question, it's just to check whether the candidate understand where the Parliamentary Budget Office is. Yeah, Chairperson, should I go through all of them? Yeah. And then, okay. The next question is also technical. It's 15 marks. The time allocated is 10 minutes. The question is, South Africa is viewed as a developmental state. You may, however, agree or disagree with the statement. Based on your response, indicate how the country used the government's budget, in particular, taxation system, to address the country's socio-economic challenges. This question is basically trying to probe whether the candidate will be able to assess the fiscal framework, because fiscal framework has to do with taxation, the revenue. And the candidate need, among others, to first explain his or her understanding of a developmental state, and the candidate is free to say South Africa is a developmental state or not, give reasons, and also infuse the national development plan, and then see how this developmental or non-developmental fit into the NDP. And also provide some historical context indicating the challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. Talk about the various taxes that are applied in the country, and also indicate whether the South African taxation system is proportional, progressive, or regressive, and the extent it addresses socioeconomic challenges such as inequality, poverty, and unemployment. And also reflect on the tax incentives that were introduced over the past years, such as employment tax incentive to promote youth employment. And also reflect on what has been tax rebates that were introduced and the effectiveness thereof, and also talk about the progressive tax measures such as transfer duties as well as company tax, and also look at the issue of VAT, the impact of zero-rated part of it, and then the candidate may also draw a comparative study of other countries to say other countries in a similar situation, this is how they dealt with the issues of taxation. Question number three, Chairperson, is 10 marks. Time allocation is 5 minutes. The question reads as follows. The outbreak of COVID-19 has led to the following critical questions. Is it now time to consider zero-based budgeting system in the country? Is it advisable to approach institutions like International Monetary Fund, World Bank, or BRICS for loans to help the country deal with the economic impact of COVID-19? What is your response to these questions? Now, the candidate in this question need to indicate their understanding of the zero-based budgeting and whether it could be a better option compared to the current budgeting model at this stage. Two, implications of zero-based budgeting on the medium-term expenditure framework. Three, prospects and challenges of the zero-based budgeting. Four, the prospect and challenges of approaching the IMF, World Bank, and BRICS for loans. Whether it is the right time to look at the impact of the BRICS Bank in South Africa's public finances. These are among others, members. Question four, it is technical, it's 15 marks, time allocation is 10 minutes. The question is, if appointed the director of the PBO, how will you ensure that the Parliamentary Budget Office provides support to Parliament oversight through the budget cycle, and what are the key objectives underpinning the South African budget policy? The following are the possible answers. One, candidates to demonstrate the oversight and accountability mandate or model of Parliament. What happens during term one? What happens during term two, term three, term four? And then they must also name the four phases of the budget cycle: the drafting phase, the budget lekgotla processes, and also indicate what would be the role of the budget office during that stage, the legislative phase after the tabling of the budget, Parliament is now processing through money bills, and the implementation phase, that is the quarterly expenditure, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, and the audit phase, how the money has been used. Now, the candidate needs to show a clear understanding of all those cycles and indicate what is it that the budget office will be doing to also provide support to Parliament and members. I have indicated that on each phase, but another thing I think that members, the candidate needs to do is how the candidate will capacitate members, because when you advise, you also must advise the people who have been taught. One would expect that the Parliamentary Budget Office will take through members as to what is expected from them, so that when they do their work, they do it with understanding, not only the finance and appropriations, but almost all the parliamentary committees. Question five, it's 10 mark. Time allocation is 15 is 5 minutes, sorry, Chairperson. The question is, during the 2019 budget speech, the Minister of Finance, Mr. Tito Mboweni, indicated that the budget is built on six fundamental prescripts, one of which is stabilizing and reducing the public debt. In your view, What are the prospects and challenges of this approach with the outbreak of the COVID-19? The following are the possible answers. But before we come to this one, what is being tested here is the understanding of the candidate of the public debt. So the candidate really needs to show what his or her understanding is, and also assess whether where the country is now, is it at an acceptable level, or is there room to increase the public debt? And then some of the possible answers are the current cost of debt and possible future costs, the current public debt as against the GDP, and the level of public debt in other countries, possibly that the rising debt levels will crowd out public expenditure and compromise long-term growth and financial stability, the impact of the cost of servicing the debt, public debt, as compared to service delivery, the need to strengthen the cost-cutting measures, and analysis of documents to assess the ratio of foreign currency debt to domestic debt and the currency of composition of foreign currency debt. These are some of the possible answers. The next question, Chairperson, is 10 marks and time allocation is 5 minutes. The question is, managing key stakeholder relationship is an important responsibility of the Director of Parliamentary Budget Office. At times, however, stakeholders can be very demanding and unreasonable. Describe how you will manage unreasonable stakeholder expectations and demands. Now, in this case, the purpose is just to see whether the candidate understand managing stakeholder expectations. In this case, members of parliament, committees, and also other stakeholders. Among other possible questions is, need to be able to distinguish between internal and external stakeholders. In this case, the internal stakeholders would be members of parliament and the committees. There will be other stakeholders like your national treasury, your SALGA, and the executive on the other side. And also need to understand the political environment. This is a political environment. We don't only have members, but we also have members of political parties. How will the candidate be able to manage all those expectations from various political parties within parliament and also from the committees? And also how the candidate is able to build a collaborative relationship with stakeholders, and also taking action to meet stakeholders' needs and expectations without compromising the independence of the budget office. And also, how will the candidate be able to provide feedback? The next question, Chairperson, question 7, is 10 marks. Time allocation is 5 minutes. The question is, if appointed, how will you safeguard the independence and integrity of the Parliamentary Budget Office? The possible answers, candidate to, among others, reflect on the following. Emphasis on adherence to the provision as set out in the money bills, and also ability to capacitate the office to avoid relying on other institutions for projections and forecasting, establish clear mechanisms to manage requests by various stakeholders, including conflicting political requests, and to insulate the office from political biasness, applicant to demonstrate the extent he or she will meet a fit and proper person. In this case, how that is the leadership style and the work ethics, how the candidate will project himself or herself in such a way that the integrity of the office is not in any way questionable. The last question, Chairperson, is 15 marks. Time allocation is 10 minutes. The question is, Given the nature of the position and its demands, can you tell us about the time when you were required to make complex, unpopular, or tough decisions in your previous employer? And what kind of process did you follow when making such complex decisions? And how did you manage various interests which were affected by your unpopular decision? Now, this question is aimed at trying to see the decision-making process, whether the candidate is a person who just decide or is a person who will use collective approach or is a person who will consult. Among others, the candidate should demonstrate some level of need for consultation and communication with various role players within and outside the office environment. Two, taking all relevant factors into account, including past and present information, and also to demonstrate an ability to understand and manage different priorities or interests. And lastly, candidates should be able to demonstrate an ability to manage tensions within and outside of the office. These are, in short, Chairperson, the questions and also what is expected and what the questions are trying to find out from candidates. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Advocate Tao. Honourable members, are there any clarifications on what Advocate Tao has just shared with us? These are the types of questions, as you can see, they cut across from the understanding of the budgetary process to the understanding of what the budget tries to achieve, to the management style of the of the candidate. Yeah. So these are the type of things which are covered. While you are still thinking, so that you can just understand the format that we'll be taking. Each member will, that we have got seven questions. So what will be starting somewhere, and then we'll start with the Honourable Tipuo, right? So if she takes question number one, Honourable Njadu will take question number two, question number three, question number four, question number five, question number six. You go back to question number seven for the candidate. That's one. Yes, Honourable.
I just want to check, Chair, is there no opportunity for unscripted questions? Do we have to stick only to these eight?
Yeah, in fact, I wanted to come to that. That definitely, we, as I said, it's indicative and wanted to make sure that everybody gets more or less the same type of questions. But amongst other things that other members are allowed to do, as you ask a question, is a follow-up question. You may throw in something, even if it's not directly related to the question that you'd have asked. If it's something that's really burning in you, please, you'll have an opportunity to throw it in. But I'll only allow the member who had asked a question to have a follow-up question, even if it was a follow-up question from what Honorable Peters had said and so on, right? Because we're also trying to manage time. But definitely we are allowed to throw in something. So that's another thing I wanted to say. Also, honorable members, please indicate to a candidate when you are going to ask a question the maximum time that he or she has, so that you should have an idea for this question. For instance, if you look at the questions which have got 15 marks, a candidate is allowed 10 minutes so that he or she is able to expand on that thing, being aware that she has got so much time to deal with the question. So I'm requesting that honourable members, as before you ask a question, or after you have said you have got 10 minutes for this question, or you have got 5 minutes, whatever the minutes are, as indicated in this. I must say, not preempting or members, having looked at the questions now, I only got these questions now, as we're all looking at them, I think they do cover quite a range of issues. But if there's an area that the honourable member would like to jump on, please feel free to do that. Okay. Any other issue that you would like to raise? Honorable Joseph.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask, obviously, if you look at the questions, the way the questions is phrased, we want specific answers, the way we were prepared in terms of more or less. So does it mean if there's some of the questions, the answers have four or five subsections, are we allowed to, in a probing question, to relate to some of the answers we want? In other words, a SWOT analysis. Are you able to say to the candidate, give us a SWOT analysis of the Parliament Budget Office now, the strength, the weaknesses, are we allowed to say that? Even if that is the question we want, an answer that we sort of want. In other words, my question is, are we allowed to assist the candidate by getting what we want as the advocate has indicated to us to score on? Otherwise, if we don't do it, the candidate may talk in a total different direction. So what do I then use to score if I use this as a guide? So are we allowed to bring the candidate back to the possible answers that we're seeking as per the advocate? Thank you.
Robert Joseph, I think we are spot on. As I said in my introduction, that this is indicative again, so that you can see we ourselves have some understanding as where we want the candidate to go. Again, if the honourable member wants to try and say you must talk about these things in providing an answer, that's also acceptable. We should do that. By the way, the candidate may even talk about things which are not here. But when you look at the question that we have asked, you may come to the determination that yes, he's responding to the question one way or the other. But there's nothing which stops the honourable member to say in your answering, please do touch on 1, 2, 3. Yes, honourable Joseph.
Thank you, Chair. Now there's a possibility that we have the question set out, 1 to 7, but there's a possibility that the candidate in answering may even answer question 5 or 6, issues that is related to that specific question. The candidate may even be upfront. Do we just allow the candidate just to speak, and then if it's my question, I just ask again, but I look at the subsections of the answer. Is that
possible? But he must be responding to the question. We shouldn't ask him how to get to Cape Town and then start telling him about how he goes to Durban. So you get my take, yeah. Yes. Lastly, okay.
Chairperson, then this is this document issued is per candidate, I assume. And the front page, do we fill it in, or who does this front part, the right up front? And then do we, as the answer is saying we must score on the sheet, do we just make a cross in where the numbers is, besides the notes? Do we just make a cross where there's one marginal, less acceptable, acceptable? Do we make a cross? Do we mark in there and then make our notes? Or what is the expectation here of what must we do with the form then? Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, for every candidate, members will be given a sheet so that when you make notes, that is the notes for that particular candidate. Now, when the candidate is mentioning some of the things that are here, you can just put a write so that you don't have to write. But if the candidate elaborates, then you write. And if he mentions something that is not here, but you feel it's relevant, you put. And one thing, Chairperson, I did not explain is when you score, there is marginal, less than acceptable, acceptable, more than acceptable, superior. It's out of 5. Now, for a question that is 10 marks, you just multiply by 2. If it's marginal, you say 1 by 2 times 2 is 2. And if it's 15 marks, you just multiply it by 3. So that if the candidate gives everything, you multiply that 5 by 3, it's 15 out of 15. If you feel the candidate has given more than expected, it is a 4 out of 5, then out of 15 is 3 by 4 is 12, out of 10 is 2 by 4 is 8. And then at the end, Chairperson, it is up to the committee to decide whether they, when members decide, they will use that scoring or they will use the discussion. That is the chairperson and the members' decision, because it only helps in guiding yourself, chairperson.
Okay, Honourable Abraham, I think generally just decide if it's the question is out of 15, please do give that. If you give 12, it's 12. Then we'll see where it fits, whether it's one, whether it's from this 1 to 5 thing. But if it's 12, put in 12 there so that we don't get bogged down to the mathematics of this thing. It will come to the same thing, Advocate Down. Honorable Abraham?
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I think it's just a few comments from me. To say first and foremost, we would like to appreciate the work that's been put into the preparations. And I think what Honorable Joseph is asking has been explained by the advocate in terms of the bullet points that are possible responses are actually also guides for follow-ups, you know. And I think, Chair, just to say that when we talk time allocation, including follow-ups, it goes to maybe a bit less or just a bit more. So we really don't have to be pressured into, we give them an opportunity to know that the response is expected in so many minutes. However, we don't get stressed up and stress them as well in terms of timekeeping. And I think, Chair, the same thing that has happened to the possible follow-ups or areas that candidates need to touch is arranged nicely in bullet points for other questions, but for question 7, it's just a long paragraph, and I know then that it gives extra work to the person who's asking a question 7, so that you are able to separate the points that you are looking for, so that you are able to separate the answers as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Any other clarification? Let me check from other honorable members. Honorable Peters, anything from you? Honorable Njadu? Honorable Nzani?
No, Chair, just on the, okay. The front page. The front page is going to be filled by us.
Yes, Chairperson. The member write the name of the candidate and then the name of the member, because what we will do is we will take all this back to the archives. And if the member would want to check, let's say you want to check whether the record, or if there is a need for auditing, then whoever will be doing the auditing will know this is the member who was scoring. And then we keep that record. And it will also, what happens is, after this process, we will keep the documents, keep them safe. And if members want to deliberate further, then we bring them back. And then we give each member what he has written here.
Advocate? And no, I think on that one, let the members keep their things until we finalize the process. You know? The adults enough, they look after their documents. Okay, thank you. I know you wanted to be. Just we'll keep our documents. Any other thing from other, because we need to go to other things, the other things that we must. Yes, Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Last question: will the candidate be able? The candidate be given opportunity to make closing remarks, or at the last question then it's finished and then you thank him, or how does it work, or be able to ask
us any questions,
or just wanted to know how would we close the interview session. Thank you.
I think I'll do that to him. If there's anything that he or she wants from us, I'll put that to him or her. Thank you. Any other thing? Perhaps just to finalize this one, I'll welcome the candidate when the candidate comes in, just to make him or her comfortable with us. And briefly, I'll ask him to or her to tell us who or he she is, briefly, and then I'll then be requesting honourable members to start with their questions. Please, also honourable members, so that from your side, when you ask the question, please be direct to the question. Let's not spend a lot of time in asking the question. We want to listen to the candidates, not to the honourable members. Okay, honourable. I think that's it, Advocate Tao. Next.
Next, Chairperson, it is another document which shows the summary of the public submissions. If studies this document, if members have it.
Are we all having that, members? Okay, thank you. You can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will go to page 2. On page 2, it is a summary of all these submissions. 2.1 is a submission for Dr. Janjis. It is a motivation, which I will not go into it. 2.12 is also a motivation. I will not go into it. There is also 2.13, which is also a motivation. I will not go into it. 2.14 is also a motivation, and 2.15 is also a motivation. Now, on page 4, it is also a motivation for Dr. Janjis. And then 3, it is also a motivation for Dr. Siraj. And also, number 4, it is also a concern against one of the candidates who have already withdrawn, that is Chafua. 5 is also a public comment about Gail, who has also withdrawn. And then number 6, honorable members, it is comment made by Mr. Sean Muller. He is raising concerns about the fitness, the proper and fitness of 2 candidates who are internal candidates. But Mr. Miller is not indicating the names of those candidates. And he is saying the acting secretary to parliament do has information about those allegations. So I'm not sure, honorable members, how you will deal with this one, because we have 3 internal candidates and there is a concern. If I was to guide, maybe Chairperson, I don't know if it will help to say to the candidate, there is this allegation about some internal candidates. Are you aware? Are you implicated? And if the candidate says, no, I am not aware, then there is no further questions, because the candidate is not aware of those allegations. They are not against him or her. But if the candidate is aware, then the candidate can maybe respond. But the allegations are not really substantiated. Now, number 7, it is Legislature Watch. The Legislature Watch raises very good points about what the members should look for, the skills that will be required, the questions. I think they are saying members need to satisfy themselves that the person will be good in macro forecasting, revenue modeling, debt modeling, policy forecasting, impact analysis, policy evaluation, policy costing. Some of these questions, I think they try to address what the Legislature Watch is recommending. But now the Legislature Watch goes to further to say none of the candidates fit their own assessment. But I believe it will be up to the process when the members have gone through the process that the committee can say, do we have candidates who meet this criteria or not? And the legislature watch also go on to raise two serious issues about two candidates, that is Mr. Khumalo and Mr. Plaki. With regard to Mr. Khumalo, they are basing the allegation on a newspaper article which has been attached. There is a link on this. I'm not sure if members were able to open that. That newspaper article shows that there was some investigation by National Treasury when Mr. Khumalo was the acting chairperson and CEO of FFC. That was in 2016. And after his departure, there was an investigation, but we don't have all the facts what that investigation was all about. But what is also indicated is Professor Plaki is now using that investigation to victimize some of the employees. That is the allegation now against Dr. Plaki. What this article is saying is they question his leadership style. He's autocratic. His word is final. And they also raise a very serious issue of sexual harassment that has been allegedly reported, but nothing was done because it is alleged that the person who is implicated is very close to him. That is those allegations, Chairperson and Honorable Members, that the Legislature Watch is raising, and it is substantiated by the newspaper article, unfortunately. So they base their submission on what the media has said. The allegation against Professor Plaki, I think it was in February 2019. But for Mr. Khumalo, the newspaper article was in September 2016. Thanks, you, Chairperson.
Honourable Members, I don't want to open this one. I think we have these things. I think what at best what we'll do is to ask the candidate to comment on that thing. And when it comes to allegations, we can't be in a forum where we're looking at allegations and so on. At best, we can put it to him, can do that and respond. There's a process of probity and vetting, which is aimed to look at all those things, which is going to guide us. We should be very careful that we don't get into things that we are not expected to deal with. But at best, Honorable Tipo, you remind me, I think there were, because what happens, I don't say this, what's in, some of the candidates or some people who are pushing for a particular candidate will be demotivating for a certain candidate and talk about allegations and so on and so forth. So I think we should be very, very careful. We should tread very carefully. But there's a probity process that we have put in place so that we are guided. If somebody is fit and proper, if there's anything against him or her, allegations, there are forever allegations flying in this country. So I think let's take that approach. I'm very much aware. Not unless there's something pending, but I think that's the most right way to deal with it. Honorable Peters, do you want to talk to it? Oh, okay. Honorable Abraham?
Just want to make a proposal. Mm. Do you want to say something?
Please.
I just want to make a proposal, Chair, that we leave that part to you. You are the one who's going to accept and welcome the candidates and so on. Mm. And we were advised that as we ask the question, we must not consume a lot of time. Mm. We want to listen to the candidates. Yeah. So let's do that in terms of the questions in front of us. Mm. And then at the end, the chairperson will make an assessment as to the public comment as well as the performance of the candidates and see if it is practical or necessary to ask them to comment on those. So my proposal, Chair, is to say let's leave it to you to make that assessment. assessment and comment at the end.
Honorable Peters and Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I just want to raise a shortcoming with regard to the one raised about the internal candidates, which I believe the secretariat and the advisory team should have followed, because it speaks to the acting secretary of parliament being away, and nothing prevents, because there is a comment, I mean, from the public about internal candidates. So it would have been ideal for us to receive a report from the acting secretary of parliament on it can still come on whether there's any veracity to a report that is sitting somewhere, not the details of the report, but whether there is, so that we don't have a situation where we've got to interview people and now we're looking at internal candidates with suspicion. We don't know who amongst the three are actually implicated in what is being referred to here. And I think it's proper that even after this, we do get that type of information.
Thank you. Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support Member Abrams' recommendation that you as the chair deal with that at the end, just informing the candidates that the scrutiny is not the vetting completed. There were public comments, and that if they're successful, that will still be dealt with. But we leave that in your hands at the end, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Your body language, Honorable Heloise, do you want to say something?
I just don't want us to make any reference to allegations which are just so insubstantial and have got absolutely no evidence. You know, if any one of us applied for a job and our names were put in the newspaper, there would be someone who would say, oh, well, that guy was once rude to me or was once rude to some other colleague. You know, some of these complaints are really pathetic, actually. That you know, Professor Plaikis is rude to some other people in the office. I mean, that's just I don't think that's relevant to us at all. Unless it is a serious, substantiated allegation that makes a person constitutionally unfit for the office, then we should just ignore it.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to align myself with the colleagues, because I'm sure the vetting is taking place. If there's anything that will crop up, the vetting will come up with that to say, this is 1, 2, 3 about this person, he doesn't qualify. For us, we must concentrate on what we are here for. Because like you even previously said, now that everyone will have to criticize the other candidate so that at least the candidate he's favoring or she's favoring must be able to be able to succeed. Thank you.
Thank you, all members. I think I do have a guidance as to how we deal with this, because seriously, there will be all these type of things. As I said, that at best, if I, for instance, let me make an example. There's an allegation about sexual harassment somewhere, and I think that one I can't run. I'll have to put it on to the candidate. But other things. Even about some reports, you know, the purpose of us going out in public with this thing is for somebody to say, why do you continue this person, whereas you know that this person has been found guilty of 1, 2, 3, so things like that, right? Is guilty of this and so on and so forth. So let's see. But I think we do have a fallback position of the probity and vetting, which will assist us again to deal with some of those things if there's anything tangible. So that we were able to make an informed decision. Honourable members, I think that's all about the questions and so on. Anything else from?
From me, Chairperson. According to the program, the committee is supposed to finalise the top three candidates tomorrow, but we have not yet received the vetting results. So maybe the committee need to reconsider that process, because if you are going to shortlist three candidates while still waiting for the vetting process, what if the vetting disqualifies some of the candidates? But through chairperson, the committee can decide how this process can be dealt with. In appointing the Auditor General, the committee suspended that until the vetting results were received, so that when the members decide to nominate the top three, it is when you have all the information. Thanks.
Honourable members, Honourable Abraham.
Chair, in that case, I think we need to just have a discussion about the candidates, maybe kind of arrange them and so on. But if the vetting results are not yet in, you know, the entire process will be upset and compromised if we make a decision and then thereafter something comes up. So I think we should also take the advice that the advocate is giving and ensure that we wait for the vetting. It's okay to start the process, but the vetting results are critical for the decision.
Honorable Joseph.
Chairperson, thank you. My proposal would be that we continue our work if we can reach consensus after the interviews on ranking the candidates 1 to 6. If the vetting shows number 2, for example, whoever it is, there's a problem and it needs to be taken out, then we take it out. Then and obviously your next person shifts up. That could be a possibility if we get consensus on the ranking of candidates as to who's the best suitable person. The vetting will then take people out if the vetting have to take people out if there's evidence. That would be my view, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable members?
Thank you, Chair. I want to align myself with the first colleague to say that we shouldn't go to in terms of putting them according to the best and the first, the second, the third. We should just interview them and then we wait for vetting. And then when we know that after the vetting is done, that because we'll be having our notes to remind me. I don't think that we'll have forgotten what transpired. We're going to make our own notes. We'll always refer to them. So I want to allow myself to say we must take the advocate advice to say that, okay, let's continue, but we should not arrange them according to their performance, so that when the vetting is out, then we can do that. Thank you.
Honorable Njadu. Thank you, Honorable Lesa.
Thank you, Chair. I think the argument on that we don't put the cart before the horses. See, I think I would agree that we finish the interviews and then we wait and then schedule for the last part.
Members, I'm involved with the AG process and Robert Peters. I think the same thing more or less came up, and you don't need to do that. I'm just saying we add on that side because it becomes clumsy. This thing is open. We're going to have TV here and so on, and then because the suitability for us to rank somebody to be number one, it should be because we have got this whole picture. So if we make him number one today and then all this thing comes back, I think let's err on the side of saying let's suspend this, right? And then once we've got all the information, we then come together. And I think that would be the ideal one. If you could live with that one, Honorable Joseph, let's come and just suspend everything. Let's have this thing. Let's have our notes and so on. And then when we have got all the information, then we make a whole, rather than making a decision today, then tomorrow we come back and we change. It may create a few things. And you know, these people, sometimes they become very litigious. Say, no. Then they interdict the process forever. And then we're not able to move. I think we agree on that, Honourable Members. Thank you. Advocate, Honourable Joseph, we can live with that. We can live with that, yeah. Thanks. Honourable Advocate? just before I allow Ms. Mucho to come in?
Yeah, no, I wanted Chairperson to address the Ms. Shirley, because she's coordinating this with the media,
yeah,
and the media is anticipating the meeting tomorrow. The meeting may continue because there is still other business that the members need to discuss, and also discuss the possible date for the meeting, so that when we leave here, administrative Lucas can start planning for that meeting. But the media should be aware that tomorrow's meeting will not be about finalizing the process.
Okay, can I say, Advocate, serious, we can't come back here tomorrow and discuss the date and so on and so forth. I think the media can be told that it's today and we have finalized our things. And then the next process will follow. I don't see us coming back here to just come and discuss dates and so on. I think the opportunity cost of doing that will be too much. I think we'll have to communicate to the media. That's our decision. We can't be driven by them. This is the decision that we have taken. Therefore, tomorrow's meeting, we'll finalize everything today. Remember, even if we are here until 10, it's fine to finalize our things. But I don't see us communicating again tomorrow to tell you these things. Thank you. Any other thing before I allow Ms. Mucho to come in? Okay. Honourable members, that's about the process and the questions and so on. That's how it's going to happen. Ms. Mucho would like to take us through the media around and her expectations from us. Ms. Mucho, from the communications. Oh, Honourable Peters. It looks like we don't have, but that doesn't mean that can't be organized. In the meantime, I think if we go to our gadgets, we can. But if oral members wanted to have it on paper, perhaps they want to write things and so on. I think that can that be arranged? Yeah, that will be arranged. But in the meantime, can I request the oral members to rely on their gadgets just to see more on the candidates. Thank you. Ms. Moncho.
Good morning, honorable members. Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Shirley Monsu. I work in the Parliamentary Communication Services as section manager, supporting the... Okay, let me rather set this aside. I just want to explain this to the members, because we normally do not meet the members, and some do know us. They know us through saying, Honorable Moletsane, frame yourself, Honorable Jandu, do this. So we are meeting members for the first time. I'm the section manager, production and publishing. We are responsible for the website, for television, for social media platforms, for Parliamentary Communication Services and multimedia productions in Parliament. We design. Your names are designed like this from the section and so on. We produce the publications, every publication that you see, the corporate identity, manual of Parliament, we do that also. I am with Mr. Molepo at the back there. He's the PCO. Ms. Sephora is downstairs at the van. She's the unit manager, multimedia productions. We have also our colleague from ICT, Mr. Tatas Mekwa. He does the infrastructure. He assists us with the infrastructure, as in cameras and sound and these microphones that you're having. And then the crew, these gentlemen are working with us, the crew from Telemedia, also from the production company, to make this event a success for today. I think I just wanted to do that introduction. The production is going to be live. From the minute 9:30, I'm looking at the time, having been in this industry almost 3/4 of my life, I can feel 5 seconds. So I'm a bit worried about the time frame. Honorable Buthelezi knows all the time, and he starts on time in his meetings. I'll just take him as the example, because we normally work with him many times. When we say, Honorable, please microphone this and that, because I'm going to ask, for instance, if ever I'm having this microphone, that camera taking, shooting at me, this microphone is going to obviously cover my lips. So I like the way Honorable Moletsane has his mic. You can speak anywhere. It's very directional. You are able to be heard, and your face is going to be seen holistically, because in most instances, it will be like for that one of the candidate. We on television, that candidate, if ever is as short as me, we are not going to see the face. The microphone is going to be on the face. So we will adjust it. I just want to caution to say, when you speak, if you are not, the last time during the AG interviews, I came back during the break to bring the microphones down. Honorable Peters was the best, because her microphone was basically just under her chin, and we could see the whole face. The audio visual part of television says a lot, because it expresses what you are saying on TV. The person that is watching is able to see, but I'll get bored. The microphone, I don't see her lips or his lips and so on. So those would be the little things, but they're very impactful as far as the image of the speaker. We have also, Honorable Chairperson, prepared just short interviews, I'm saying short profiles of the candidates. We have the picture of the candidate and then the qualifications. This is just for us for the broadcast, because during the breaks, whilst the candidate will be coming in, there's going to be blank on the other side on television. So what we have done, we have prepared just 1 minute, 50 seconds of each candidate, face of the candidate, and I would play it, but you won't see it. It's on my phone, but it's just saying that there is no voiceover. It's just a qualification. If it's Shelly Muntu, sub A, sub B, sub 2, and that is it, then so that we can do that. And we also playing a promo. A promo, I think, honorable members, if they watched our channel yesterday, and so we are playing, we've got the faces of the members who are part of this committee. We are going to also be playing that, because we want to lure listeners and viewers, because on iono.fm, we cover all the radio stations. They can access us. And on television, we've got the promo on TV that has got the visuals. We have also, on the 27th, issued out a statement already, Chairperson, of what is happening today. We will issue out the statement tomorrow, subsequently. But why I asked Advocate Dawu about the deliberations, we thought that we are not finishing today. As per brief, we are finishing tomorrow. So we will see if ever today the PCO can then, today after all the deliberations, prepare a statement for issue tonight or tomorrow, subsequent to approval of the chairperson. And we are also going to cover this on our magazine in session, which will go out end of this month. The entrances, we are going to have the candidate coming from here. We'll usher the candidate coming from that side. This just to manage the broadcast, and that the candidate, we put the candidate close by there. So they will be there, we'll fetch them. They will be fetched from that side and then enter from here, not from here, from this side. That is going to be, that is the preparation that we have done. And as for time allocation, members, we are covering you, members. We are all for you. The television broadcast live and all really shouldn't be bothering the members. We will be just doing what satisfies the committee. So there shouldn't be any pressure on members as to taking the time on this and all that. No, we are supporting, we are covering the interviews. So that one cannot be an issue as far as live broadcast is concerned, and make members to be fast and, you know, to be under pressure. No, we are just in your hands. And for our start, we will do the countdown, because we are going to be changing from the recording in Cape Town. We will just give you a countdown. One of the colleagues or myself, I'll just count down, and then Honorable Buthelezi is very well aware of that one. He will then start. We will show him when to start. And in between the candidates, if ever the break was long, we will also do the countdown. But we will try our best to make the flow of the interviews as much simple and possible for the chairperson to drive. I think I have done all the briefings. The gentleman will start. We've got about 4 cameras, so each and every one of you members will be covered. And we're using also what we call the gutterways. We'll go anytime. We will go for the reactions and other things like that, not concentrate on you. You will not just be on air when you are speaking. You can be on air anytime. I want it as natural as possible, because so that's that. And we are very happy because that we don't have hybrid, but we had prepared. I think members, when they came earlier on, they saw that we had a big screen. That big screen and the monitor here for the candidate. We thought in any event, if honorable member, because I was like looking at that chair, that why is it empty earlier on? So, and I was like saying, okay, if ever it comes, he's on hybrid, we are going to be able to cover that. But because all members are here, we removed everything and we will cover it as normal as possible. And the picture, I'm watching it here on the monitor, the picture is very good. It's very good. The lights, if I wanted to also check members, is there any one of you being disturbed by these big lights somehow, so that we can address it? It's got a bust. We can address it in 15 minutes. I think the crew is ready, and we are ready to support you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Ms. Manson, thank you so much. All members, I think the preparations from the staff, from Advocate Tau and the support staff, from the communications team, I think everything is going according to the plan. But thank you so much. We are all yours. You'll be indicating to us what you expect from us. But the only thing that I think the temperature again, it's cold. I've been let's try to adjust it a little bit upwards. Otherwise, we'll be freezing. Esther, okay. We've got a problem with.
I will talk to them, Chairperson. They said yes. Okay. I'll address it.
Okay.
Because they came to ask me about that, but I thought the temperature is fine. We will reduce it, ma'am. Mm. We will reduce it for you, sir. I wanted
to increase it.
We will increase it.
Yeah, okay. You said you'll reduce.
We'll reduce the coldness.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Yes. I wanted to just get this one. I didn't understand because we had prepared this gentleman to be here 2 days. Mm. Are we going to finalize today so that tomorrow we will save some money?
Yeah.
So that they shouldn't come for tomorrow. We don't have any broadcast tomorrow.
No, we don't have any broadcast tomorrow. We'll finalize everything today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. What's the time now? How much time?
17. Yes,
9:17. Is there tea outside? Yeah, can we grab tea and make sure that by 25 past we are all seated? If you need to grab a cup of tea. Thank you.
Testing 1 2, 1 1 2, I need some gain. Testing mic 1 2, yeah.
Okay, but what do you, how do I see,
There's no gain on it. You want to level on it.
Okay. Okay.
Testing mic 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 1, 2.
Okay, but that's on pre-fade, eh?
Yeah.
Sorry, post-fade.
Post. It's
supposed to be post.
It's pre.
Okay, so as long as you don't.
So, but I'm fine now.
If you want post, then that way, if they don't switch off their mics, at least you can kill it.
Okay. So, but for now,
That's fine.
Want to check your levels?
Let me check my levels quickly. What I'm saying is, try not to ride the game too much. More. Rather push
okay,
that
cool.
up. Okay. Sure. Push your speakers down rather than.
Cool. But I think it's fine now. Testing mic 1, 2. Testing 1, 2.